Today's program has been brought to you by Route 11 Potato Chips. Made with a secret recipe and superior ingredients, their mission is to make an outstanding product in a safe and clean environment. For more information, visit www.rt11.com.
I'm Erica Wides, host of Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Your best friends. Gonna do a little drinking, maybe do some fighting. Gonna get some blood on your best friends.
Oh my goodness, that sun is going to melt away all the snow, am I right? That was just, maybe, that was just Best Friends, My Spirit Animal, who will be playing live later in studio. It is so nasty out there, gross. So unexpected. Well, which one is this? Is this Blizzard? Is this Half a Dozen Blizzard? It's number six this season?
I think so.
I really? Stopped counting.
I think so.
Yeah.
Oh my god. It's, I woke up today. I didn't even look at the weather today, and I woke up, and I was like, oh, it's raining. And then I was like, no, wait, it's freezing outside. That's not rain. That's a blizzard.
Hmm.
And I'm not wearing appropriate shoes.
Right.
Ooh, you're not the only one.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah. I don't think anybody in this room is. Well, you look like you're hey, you're good to go.
Close enough.
Sneakers.
Well, welcome to Snacky Tunes. I'm one half your host, Darren Bresnitz. Greg Bresnitz is not with us today. Shout out to him and the fam. We're all hanging out. We are super pumped because this is unexpectedly a show that's going to touch on a little bit about South by Southwest, as we have some people who are from Austin showing up a little bit later, the boys from Olame, and we'll be talking about all of us heading down there. But first up, I want to welcome Aaron from Chef's Club by Food & Wine. Welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to say that this was an Instagram relationship.
I think so.
Right?
Yeah.
Thank you to Instagram for the new DM capabilities.
The feature's key.
The feature's key. You guys have been posting some killer food pics, and normally I just like, I don't usually interact, but you guys had some such good stuff and such an awesome concept that I did the old cold call. Right. I don't know what a cold call is on Instagram. I don't know what the term is.
I think if you initiate the DM, that's a cold call.
That's a cold call.
Totally.
Well, Aaron, why don't you tell people about Chef's Club by Food & Wine for those who don't know what it is?
Sure. So it's kind of the way we approach it is almost like an art gallery, but for food. So we have rotating chefs for the time being in the main dining room. These guys will be here for a year, and so they work with us. They work with our team who's set here in New York to really nail down some awesome recipes that will take us through the whole year, through all the seasons. And right now we have Eric Anderson, who used to be at the Catbird Seat in Nashville, and is going to open a restaurant in Minneapolis called Brute later this year.
Minneapolis is sort of on fire right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Nashville.
Spoon and Stable. And,
yeah. I had the pleasure of eating at Catbird Seat earlier this year, and it was phenomenal.
Under the new regime.
Yeah,
That guy's killer, Trevor.
Yeah, Trevor's cool, but you go to this restaurant, and you're like, where's the kitchen? And you go, wait, this is the kitchen. And you go, how are you putting up this type of food in this kitchen?
It's tiny. It's the size of my apartment.
So what made Food & Wine want to get into the restaurant business?
That's a good question. I think that the president of Chef's Club is a Belgian gentleman named Stéphane de Bates. Went to them with the idea sometime in early 2012, and he opened up in Aspen late that year. We've only been open in New York since November 21st, so about 3 months into it. And I think that it is, it's sort of a way for the restaurant. It's a way for the restaurant to come alive. The restaurant's a way for the magazine to come alive, rather, I should say. The basic sort of framework is that we look with, we work with all the old best new chefs from Food & Wine. So every year they select 10 of these from around the country, and we work with those chefs to develop the recipes for the restaurant itself. And then in the back of the restaurant is a studio kitchen where we seat about 20. And that's kind of my domain in Chef's Club by Food & Wine. So I'm trying to rotate that lineup pretty regularly.
It's pretty important these days for magazines, both digital and physical, to have these experiential offshoots. Have you found that people who are showing up are fans of the magazines or just fans of food in general, or both?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's the... It's as much about... having the food of a chef from another city that you may not be able to travel to, as it is having that food together with Dana Cowan and with Kate Grader and with the editorial team from Food & Wine magazine. I mean, their personalities, their food personalities in and of itself. And I think that aspect of it is represents an extreme added value for us.
I mean, nothing like giving people access, right?
Oh,
to
definitely.
See something in the magazine. And then to give them the option to just hop on the train and then just be eating it, you know, potentially maybe in 30 minutes.
Totally. And then we tie in the magazine in a couple different ways. In the main restaurant, there's always a salad that is from that month's issue of Food & Wine magazine.
Amazing.
There's always a dessert like that. When we have the visiting chefs from out of town in the studio, we often also have them prepare dishes for the main dining room.
Awesome. So how did you get involved with the restaurant itself? You actually used to work at this small little pizza place. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of it. Roberta's? I don't know if I'm saying that correctly.
Yeah, I used to be sort of a pizza pimp for a few years, good almost 3 years or so, here at Roberta's, and I loved it. I loved it. The president of Chef's Club came to eat at Roberta's last summer, and we sort of connected because we have a same favorite restaurant in the United States.
Which is
Cezanne in San Francisco.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
I mean, that's sort of the low-hanging fruit. That's an easy answer. It's an amazing restaurant. But
you know what, though? I think when you get into a city like New York or San Francisco to say that I have this one favorite restaurant, I don't think it's that easy when you really love food.
It's true.
I mean, look, my favorite restaurant in San Francisco is El Farolito, but, you know, that's
nice. The tacos, yeah. Or the burritos, I should say.
Well, I'm a quesadilla, supreme guy.
Man.
Yeah.
Okay, fair.
I like the crispiness.
Yeah.
I just like the crispiness. So you guys met and you connected.
Yeah, we met, we connected, we had a few coffees here and there. We talked a lot about his concept, and I told him a lot about what I was doing, which was half the week I was not at Roberta's, and I was working on a book. I'm writing a book with Fight and Press about the dishes that sort of changed the course of gastronomy over time. So it's
really
restaurant-focused, not home cooking necessarily, but it'll go back around 200 years or so and sort of try to map out things that are emulated all around the world or something that was important for a particular person's career or maybe the dish that you think about when you think of New York in 1987 or
which
whatever.
Was?
Beggar's Purses at the Quilted Giraffe. Barry Wine.
God.
Yeah, he used to, tie people's hands behind their back. Rich people, just whatever. You know, have tie their hands behind their back and make them eat it like that. Make
are you serious?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But that's one of those restaurants that I wish I had been old enough to go back in time and
same
actually
here.
That was before my era
and L'Espinasse and stuff like that. I missed out on these restaurants, so in diving into the research for this project, I mean, it sort of allows me to get a little bit of a glimpse of what was happening.
I mean, that's when you go to like a Chez Panisse and you walk in and you go, I've seen this menu before, and then you go, mm-hmm. Oh wait, this menu started here and it's been just copycatted in sometimes not so great forms throughout the country, if not the world.
Oh, definitely. That was my first job, so she's going to figure into it for sure.
Oh, really? What's the dish for her?
Probably the baked goat cheese salad with the different lettuces or whatever, because who knew that lettuces was a plural term?
Lettuce-i?
Yeah.
Lettuce-y?
Lettuces.
Lettuce-y?
Lettuce-y.
And so before we go to break, I want to talk just quickly about the studio at the Chef's Club, which is sort of the 16-seat to 20-seater in the back. And how it ties into the main restaurant.
Sure. We have events in there right now, maybe 10 to 12 nights a month.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, I want that somewhere around 15 or 20. It will be chefs from not only all around the country, but all around the world. And they'll stay for 2 to 3 night kind of residencies. We may have some that are a little bit more extended than that, but that's sort of the basis for now. And they have complete autonomy, so they cook whatever they want. And our job is to make sure that they have a good time doing that and make sure that we sell the tickets to it and cultivate some sort of an interest in the restaurants in New York City and make it so that, you know, maybe the people who have attended these dinners want to go to Austin now and they want to go to Nashville and they want to go to San Francisco and they want to try these restaurants over there. But it's just sort of it's easy access for New Yorkers to try the cuisine of people from all over the place.
And some of those dishes do wind up in the main restaurant, though, if you're not lucky enough to get a seat in the back.
Yeah, definitely. We have to tie it in like that because it opens it up on a much broader scale. In the studio, we seat up to about 20, but you can't really squeeze more than that. And as for the time being, we've only done one turn, so that means 20, 40 people will get to try these people's dishes. But, you know, we're seating 120 in the main dining room, and if we put a special or two on the menu in the main dining room, that many more people get to sample that food.
Yeah,
get
I mean,
to know about those chefs.
Nothing is like being so close to a meal and not being able to eat it.
Oh, it's frustrating. It's for sure. You're like, what's going on over there? And you're like,
what's going on over there? It's like, I made it to the restaurant. It's like, well, did you get that? It's like, no.
Yeah. It's like, you always have the like, did I order correctly? You know, you go home feeling guilty.
I mean, I pretty much won't travel anywhere now where I know that I can't have every meal count to something that's awesome. There's just regions, like I'm sure Cuba's beautiful, have not heard a lot of great things about the food, probably won't go to Cuba.
Right.
Yeah.
No, same. I mean,
there's too many places to eat in the world for me to go on a trip and not have great meals all the time. Mm-hmm. But maybe I don't have to go as many trips with you guys in New York.
Hopefully. That's our hope.
All right, well, we have the Olame guys in the house because they're cooking in the studio, which I'm super excited about because I thought I was going to have to wait to Austin to see these two shining faces. You guys, we got you a blizzard today. I hope you enjoyed the weather up here versus what I'm sure is some sunniness in Austin.
It's nice to be back.
Yeah.
It's nice to be back in New York.
Well, we're going to take a quick musical break, and then we're going to talk about Olame. Shout out for the James Beard nomination and all good things like that, and the biscuits, which probably won everyone over. This is a song by the Fireworks. It's called Run Around Here on Snacky Tunes.
Hey!
Oh man, that's a nice little firecracker of a song. Just we're trying to keep things warm here because it's so effing cold outside. I want to welcome the boys of Olamé to Snacky Tunes. Welcome.
Thank you.
Want you guys introduce yourself? Say who you are, what you do, favorite topping of your biscuit.
Gray Nonis. I'm one of the chefs at Olamé, and salt and pepper chicken grease.
Ooh.
Michael Fotigé, also chef at Olamé, also salt and pepper chicken grease.
And for those who don't know what salt and pepper chicken grease is it anything more than just schmaltz and salt and pepper?
That is correct.
You nailed it.
Oh, my God.
It's also our new song title.
Perfect.
Perfect. Awesome.
That's a good song title.
I remember when you guys were at the Eater Awards, and I was just extending the conversation to see how many biscuits I could eat and, like, keep you interested before you realized that I was just housing all the plates in front of me.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. So, super excited. Welcome to New York. We got you the worst weather possible. But you guys are going to be keeping it hot in the kitchen at the studio for Chef's Club by Food and Wine. What are you guys bringing to the table for these? It's two nights, right? Tuesday and Wednesday?
Two nights.
Monday and Tuesday.
Monday and Tuesday.
Monday night. Tuesday night. Yep.
What are you guys cooking?
We're cooking some food.
Oh, cool. Well, this has been Snacky Tunes. Thank you so much.
we're showcasing stuff that we're doing right now in Austin with the season and the locality of what we do in at Olamé in Austin, Texas. So right now it's relatively kind of what our spring starts. It's your dead winter.
Yeah.
And it's our spring starting. So kind of showcasing that, showcasing, you know, what we do, kind of bringing the South to the North.
Yeah. So how did Olamé get started? What's the quick 30-second Wikipedia intro of the launch of the restaurant?
Olamé is a family name for me. It's my mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, great-great-grandmother's first name, all from Jackson, Tennessee. Southern food has always been a thing. Gray and I met working together in Los Angeles for John and Vinny at Son of a Gun.
Shout out to those guys.
Yeah.
Killing it.
And really enjoyed working together and thought, you know, Austin is a great place to live. The produce scene, which we depend on greatly, is becoming more and more dynamic every day. And so we thought, why not take these ideas about procurement that are more common in California, why not bring them to Austin and give it a swing?
Yeah. And you guys are very new, been around just a few months, and you guys have already got nominated for James Beard Award, which is very exciting.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Yeah.
How was that day? Did you just automatically feel the pressure on your shoulders, or did you were just like, we just take it in stride?
I pooped.
It was really joyous. It was, you know, it was like I've been equating it recently, like as a former elementary school nerd, I was like, wow, you know, it's like when the really cool kid calls you and is like, hey, do you want to like come to my birthday party? And you're like, yeah. So
it's really exciting. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, it is the nomination alone is just incredible for, you know, what we do every day, unexpectedly, obviously, you know, and everybody has been, you know, calling and congratulating us, and it's been really, really nice because we put a lot into what we do every day. So,
yeah, and this is going to be exciting to have this booked at Chef's Club, because not only is it a destination restaurant, but it's a James Beard nominated restaurant. How is it like working with bringing, like, what do you bring? How do you showcase in one meal what you guys stand for in New York?
We bring a lot of produce already ready to go, and we do we have a very small team. Gray and I do the lion's share of the work day to day. So it was add a little bit more stuff and then put it in coolers and bring it on a plane with us and hope for the best. And we're here. We're lucky. Things worked out great.
Yeah. We packed a lot of soul in that cooler. So
a lot of soul.
A lot of soul. Yeah.
So you'll be serving fish?
What's that? We actually are serving flounder, so yeah. Oh. We are serving a type of, yes.
Nice.
So can you guys talk about the menu a little bit and talk about how it's going to work? And maybe you can, Aaron, you can talk a little bit about how these dinners are presented, and then what are the main restaurant dining population going to get from the restaurant as well?
Cool.
I'm sworn to secrecy.
Oh, really?
The menu. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not really. But we haven't been publishing the menus in advance. But
it's okay. No one listens to the show, so it doesn't make a difference.
Well, that in that case.
In that case.
Let's really open up here. Let's see.
What are we doing?
Beet hush puppies.
Okay.
Smoky fish dip on crackers. Sliced ham with Tennessee truffle honeycomb. Kilt white button mushroom salad with warm country ham vinaigrette, tarragon, and ketchup. And there are like 15 other things like this. So
yeah, you guys really pack out that
they're
menu.
Not playing around. I told them they could cook whatever they want. They're like, all right, cool, we'll cook these 15 things. And I was like, great.
Yeah,
awesome.
So we have the menu, like, we have it all figured out. And some things are, you know, because of how we do, how we work, and how we cook, things are subject to change. So every day is something different. So you might work on a dish the whole season, finally get it right, put it on the menu, and the next day your farmer tells you he doesn't have any more cauliflower. So you have to figure out, well, next year, maybe.
Yeah.
So that happens. So when we write menus, we try to push it to a window that's like, okay.
Right.
This next week. And in this past week, we still had audibles, so we still had to kind of throw things, some things around or take away. And we've compiled, I think, it's still like crazy amount. It's still like 10 things, a couple of bites, and then a secret special course, and a childhood audible, and a bunch of other things. So
those sound like mystery clues,
right?
In a young adult novel,
right?
Yeah. Choose your own adventure.
And then I'm assuming the biscuits as well.
Maybe.
I feel like those are...
Don't make assumptions.
I won't assume anything, but I feel, you know, that is a dish. And you could talk about it. I mean, I think for as long as you are Olame, you're going to have these biscuits at whatever you do, because if you don't do it, people are going to lose their minds.
Not if they win the award, though.
No.
Yeah, we often have this conversation about, you know, is Olame defined by biscuit and alone? And certainly not. But yeah, you're right. I mean, everywhere we go, it's something that we talk about.
I mean, we have this conversation a lot here where, you know, the Roberta's empire started with pizza. The Frankie's Patino empire started with the meatball. And, you know, a lot of times you can have that one dish be your, you know, that's your winner. That's your stud. That's your horse. And then you can build around that one dish, but people are always going to want to have the pizza, the meatballs, the biscuit, and things like that. But that biscuit's allowing you to make whatever you want. I mean, your menus change so radically from week to month, but everyone knows that they're going to go in. I mean, flour and water don't really go out of season.
Right. I mean, you're absolutely right. That's the idea. It's like there's only, you know, a couple of things that stick around all the time, and it's a pickle plate and a biscuit.
Yeah, and the pickles change based off of the season. So realistically, it is just a biscuit, but that's not even on the menu. So
it's not even on the menu. That's the secret menu. You got to wink.
You just like have to know. But it's like,
you know, I went to a club.
Clearly, people know.
Yeah, because we sell a lot of biscuits.
We sell a lot of biscuits. So.
Well, I went to a club this weekend and I asked for the pickle plate and the biscuit, and I got something way different than I'm going to get old.
Depends on what time you come in.
Yeah. So are you guys excited for South By? Because I know, you know, this is sort of the first time that you've been open when a huge, whole new crew of people are coming in. Are the phones off, ringing off the hook? You guys totally booked up?
We're busy. We have a buyout for some people that I don't know if you know them or not.
Yes, I'm familiar with
not
them.
Really thrilled about it. Just kidding.
No, I'm very excited to be working with you guys.
Yeah, no, we're excited. This is our first South By experience. I think we'll be busy.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a lot of fun.
I think, I mean, you know, with the Texas Monthly getting like the two spot, the James Beard Award, I think people now as they start realizing like it's March and they start making their reservations, You guys are going to see the phones ringing off the hook. And it's going to be great. You guys are going to be busy.
No, we're excited. We got to make a lot of biscuits.
A lot of biscuits. And are you guys going to have any places that you're going to eat while you're in town? In New York?
In New York?
Yeah.
We kind of like throwing it around a little bit. We're not sure because we don't know like our time.
Yeah.
But definitely have to eat some beef, apparently.
What type? What, like corned beef? Like Katz's?
No. Well, I definitely need to put a bagel in my stomach. Maybe some Jewish deli for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Black Seed Bagels is just crushing it right now. And you could do a mile end to Black Seed Bagel, 1-2 hop, and that's always great.
Chinese food.
Yeah.
It's just stuff that we don't have.
I mean, say what you will, NY, great NY noodle town is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're seeing some fist pumping in the back in the studio. Well, you don't need ramen because ramen Tatsuyu down in Austin is the best ramen I've ever had. Shout out. Yeah, there we go. But yeah, New York is tough because you're like, how much can my stomach take?
Yeah, I would kill to go to Samia. Jose's a good friend. Batard, friends on both of those teams. We're really honored to be on the list with them for James Beard.
Oh yeah, I mean, shout out to them. Like Redmond, Havemeyer, like just crushing it.
I know. Why can't they be open on Sunday night?
I don't know.
It's a European model.
European model. Hey man, just do like double cook your dinner, then go over to them and have like post dinner, right?
We're in a texting war about it right now.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you guys. Stick around. We have some pizzas and some salads coming in. Aaron, what are the details for people who want to check out Chef's Club?
So for these dinners, these next couple of days, give us a call if you want to roll the dice on a cancellation or two. We're pretty booked up right now on that. But you never know. Just crazy stuff happens day of. Phone number is 212-941-1100. Otherwise, you can book up dinner in the regular restaurant on chefsclub.com.
Awesome. And for people who want to start getting their South by reservations now, Olamay, what's the info there?
512-474-2796. Open Tuesday to Saturday, 5:30 to about 10 or 11. And reservations made, Yelp Seat Me.
Awesome. Reservations, highly suggested.
Highly suggested.
Highly suggested for both restaurants. And both you guys have great Instagram games. I know Chef's Club does. How's your Instagram game, Olamay?
Oh, rock solid.
Rock solid?
No question. No question.
Just beautiful shots of biscuits and schmaltz and salt and pepper. We'll stick around. I'm not going to send you out into that cold without some food and some drinks. We have Spirit Animal coming up next. But first up, a song that I'm loving by the Districts. This is Suburban Smell here on Snacky Tunes.
There's 60 homes on every street. They all, of course, lie in the neatest rows. Cradling broken homes and dinner prayers, rocking us all to sleep in homes. Which one's mine, I can't tell. But sick of that suburban smell. They look the same. And all the kids with money left, cheering for the retard dance, cheering for a touchdown they loud. But I am not like them, I am not like them. I'm leaving cause I'm sick of watching them watch the retard dance. There's a party at the rich kid house, I get stoned in basements. Mother, I am not myself, but I don't laugh and watch the retard dance. There are so many homes on every street, piling into lines so neat. I won't fold into those lines, I'm too
drunk on that suburban smell. Know which one of them is mine. They look the same, look the same. God gave us 16 homes on every street, so we all pray at the dinner table. Our sons are strong and they are able to laugh and watch the retard dance. Sick of that suburban smell, sick of that suburban smell.
I feel like that's if I was like 14, that would be, if I was making a mixtape for a girl,
mm-hmm.
that would be the closing track, like of like out in the burbs,
yeah,
and just she would get that I'm sweet.
But doesn't he talk about smelling?
Yeah, but it's like the suburban smell. I don't know, angsty sweet, you know,
right?
Whatever. I don't know. I found all my old mixtapes, but I don't have a tape player anymore, so I gotta go. I gotta go find tape player. I don't think they're gonna stand up. You know, and we were just talking about that, like, trying to make mixtapes or like putting together playlists, and 90 minute playlists are, that's a lot of time
to fill up with like the best stuff.
Because the
audience is super diverse.
Yeah.
If you're like into cool music, then you're into lots of different music. And so it gets tricky. Someone's going to lose interest when you throw on, you know, that crazy Aphex Twin track.
I know.
You have to.
God, I remember if I go back, I'm sure there's, you know, for like 2 or 3 years, the same song would show up. I'm like, I can't not put this on.
Right.
I can't not put this on. Well, we got Spirit Animal in the house. Welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for slugging it out in the inappropriate footwear. But I feel like now we're all in this together, that we don't have, our feet aren't warm, so it's okay.
Yeah.
Well, I can't actually feel mine, so.
Yeah.
It's really a moot, whether, you know, warm or not.
Well, why don't you guys introduce yourself and say what you do in the band?
I'm Steve. I sing and dance.
Ooh, okay.
Yep.
I'm Cal. I play guitar, among other things. And Paul's over there on the camera.
Yep.
Nice.
Ron's over there throwing up the peace sign.
Beautiful. Radio peace sign. Yeah.
Radio peace sign.
For all, trust us.
For all you listeners out there, it may have been the best radio peace sign we've ever seen.
It did have like a tight. Kind of like a...
So you guys are sort of crushing it right now. The Blackjack White, over 1 million listens on Spotify.
Yeah. Yep.
Were you watching it? Were you like just like sitting there and just like watching it creep to 1 million, or did you forget about it for a few weeks and wake up one day and you're like, oh, it's at 1 million?
We watched it till maybe about 500,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
We made our little like self-congratulatory 250,000, 500, and then you kind of were like, act like you've been there before, you know? Just stop talking about this. Yeah. Like, you know.
Hey, man. Hey, yeah, we've all been there.
Yeah.
That's great.
No, it's cool. It's super cool. And it's growing now, actually. It kind of like, it dipped, and now it's like kind of like flaming up again.
I mean, yeah, I guess that's sort of like a tipping point in some ways, where like once a song gets into that,
critical mass.
That algorithm, where like, oh, enough people like it, and then it starts getting a playlist, and it gets even more and more and more.
Totally.
The Malcolm Gladwell effect.
Oh, yes. We're going to hijack talking about you and talk about outliers and tipping point. And so you guys are in the middle of a staycation right now, just working on music, hanging out.
Staycationing.
Yeah, we've been writing like hardcore for a few months, and this 5 days we're in right now is kind of like that last leg, taking stuff from demo to fully fledged, you know, craziness, adding, you know, new parts that even though we've been thinking about this stuff for a couple months might have not presented themselves yet. And then we're pretty much done with those, and we're ready to record, hopefully, in theory.
What's a eureka moment for you guys? Like, describe the last one where you go, hey, man, I just saw it.
The song we're playing today, the first one, we're like a rock band. It's super high energy. It's a party. It's fun.
Love it.
It's a little tricky to get tender, especially, you know, we're new to a lot of people. It can be kind of like, which way are they going? But this new song, we just decided to lop off everything for the first minute and just make it this kind of acoustic, you know, Americana thing. And it kind of opened it up, because then the impact of everything else just kind of got a boost.
Yeah.
So
and also made it perfect to play in here, because just keep, you know, normally halfway through the song it kicks into rock and roll craziness, but you're just gonna get a full dose of sensitivity.
Yeah, yeah.
Just, that's all right. That's yep. all right.
Speaking of pickle plates.
Pickle plates. well, I mean, we got to hear the song now, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
So this is pickle plate and the schmaltz.
Yeah, pickle pot and the salt and pepper schmaltz.
But the actual working title is
American Boy.
Okay, here we go. Spirit Animal, American Boy, live on Snacky Tunes. Here we go.
That the American way. What do you believe in, boy? What you got to say? I say, hey, makes me shout out loud. Oh, hey, oh. Glory come and glory go. Oh. Hold the line as long as we can. Oh, hey, oh. Story everybody knows. Oh, hey, oh. But I think we should tell it again. What are you leaving for? Thought you had something to say. That's what believing's for. That's why you came. Tell him your name. I say hey. Makes me shout out loud. Oh, hey, oh. Glory come and glory go. Oh, hey, oh. Hold the line as long as we can. Oh, hey, oh. Story everybody knows. Oh, I think we should tell it again. Oh, hey, oh. Glory come and glory go. Oh, hey, oh. Hold the line as long as we can. Oh, hey, oh. Story everybody knows. Oh, hey, oh. But I think we should tell it again.
Awesome.
Thanks, man.
You know, I went back and listened to the demo for The Chain by Fleetwood Mac.
Okay.
And
thank you.
No. I'm just saying, your story reminded me of that. Like, that was a song that was radically different, and then they obviously went through some serious editing and turned into a powerhouse like you guys have.
Totally. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're pumped about it.
Yeah.
We're probably going to start including it in the set, hopefully, for Texas, so...
Oh yeah, so let's talk about sexes. Hard we're all gonna. What's you guys are heading
like
down
your
to
menu. We just kind of audible.
Yeah.
Food and music, man. Just like this.
Yeah.
Just like this. Well, I mean, I usually find that there's no better time to like enjoy great food and great music than South by Southwest.
Yeah.
Usually by like day two, I'm so full of like brisket and queso and tacos, and micheladas, and like listen, like at a show, being like, this is so great, so great.
Yeah, it's pretty special, and we love it. We're really excited. And then as far as the food and music goes, we're actually playing at La Barbecue, so it's kind of a like a barbecue food event, music event. So
my tip is probably don't eat before you play.
Oh, yeah.
That's just I can't remember that enough. So is this your first South By as Spirit Animal?
No. We were there last year and the year before.
Yeah.
So you guys are old hats at this, old cowboy hats, if you will.
I suppose so, yeah.
Yeah, we have our, you know, like, Leave Austin food missions.
Okay.
And we have kind of like a bandwagon now where like a couple people know that if they want to get to Lockhart or Taylor, there's a couple extra seats in the span van.
I usually, since I fly in like a little bit early, I usually wait and offer to do the pickup from somebody at the airport and then just keep on going to Lockhart with them.
Right, totally.
What's your place out in Lockhart?
I'm a Smitty's guy.
Yeah.
But we're gonna try Kreitz this year just to see.
Oh, like, we got a thumbs up from the Olmec guys.
Yeah. Cool.
Ribs.
But see, the beef rib at Louis Miller, I can't imagine someone doing that better.
No.
So I'm a little nervous about even going there on the rib.
At,
Kreitz, pork ribs.
Kreitz's is just they're so peppery and so awesome and so smoky. Yeah. The first time I went there, I went with this amazing guy named Steve Harrigan, who's a writer for Texas Monthly, and I asked for sauce unknowingly.
Oh,
he just sort of like he's like, but the ribs at Smitty's are they're like so, they're weird because they're smoky, but they're lacquered in like a Chinese food type of ribs that I've never seen anywhere else.
I'm all brisket at Smitty's, and the sausage actually is my favorite of the couple that we've had down there too. But
I feel like Black's is sort of the king of sausage out in Lockhart. But we could go on for days. But
there's no way you're changing our minds.
Oh man, remember that time Spirit Animal was on? He got in a fist fight about bar. But that's great. So you're playing. So are you the guys? Are you the type of band that plays, which is now trying to doing a dozen shows, or are you like a well picked 4 to 6 type of shows?
We did a little bit more of the former in previous years. This year we're kind of doing a little more selective.
So you're playing La Barbecue, which is the most definitely one of Record Showcase, right?
Correct.
And Live Vibe with Diarrhea Planet, which...
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it's...
That's what happens
man.
If you eat the barbecue on the show.
No longer just a band.
It's no coincidence that they're playing after us.
There's a lot of good bands on that bill, actually. The second day is off the chain, yeah.
Yeah. Mini Mansions, Cruiser.
And Cruiser's like Cruiser. Just signed a Vagrant, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Shout out to Cruiser, then.
Big song, yeah.
All the and then you're doing 2 shows at Canadian Music Week. But that's a little bit later. That's in May and June.
That's like the kickoff for our national tour. So we're doing, actually playing Cornell with Kool AD from Das Racist.
Really?
First show, and then Canadian Music Week. So it kicks off kind of like in an epic fashion.
And where's Canadian Music Week?
Toronto.
Okay.
And it's
you got to go to Parts and Labor. I've never been. I only follow on Instagram, but I'm obsessed.
Boom.
You're supposed to have a killer burger, right?
Killer burger.
Yeah.
Leaves America, orders burger.
Yeah, I know. Well, look, America's Top Hat makes an awesome burger. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But that's great. So you guys are going to go on a massive tour?
It's 2 months, right?
Six weeks. It's getting up there.
What's your band game like? You guys all play nicely in the car together?
We own one. That's probably all you need to know.
You own a van?
No, it's our van game is pretty tight.
Yeah,
you got a nice dynamic.
We've spent enough time in the van where it's like you either figure it out or you break up. So we're still here.
Holy,
I think so. What's the music situation in there?
I mean, we're Spotify. Yeah. I go pretty hard on the SoundCloud to keep the electronic vibes.
Okay,
but we're all Spotify fluent.
Yeah,
90s playlist is a good way if you're struggling.
Oh yeah,
some classic gems. Yeah, 90s radio.
We keep it pretty diverse. I mean, we all come from such different backgrounds musically that we're sort of it's like an education session every time someone else plugs in their iPhone.
You guys ever get any inspiration from a van music sort of session that turned into a song? You could say no.
No,
it's a weird question. Yeah. It's a weird question. I'm not a music journalist. It's just an odd question.
There's some music making that goes on in the van. Sort of like, you know, individually occasionally, but we're more like, you know, dig in a kind of like group session style a little more often.
And are you guys like a cooler, like with veggies, or are you guys like roadside McDonald's type of guys?
No, we're pretty,
we do the roadside barbecue. Yeah.
We
veggie vibes.
We don't pass up great opportunities, but we pack in order to make sure that those things are worth it, because, like, if you start just expecting to eat crappy food, it's just gonna
you're gonna eat crappy food. Yeah,
there's no avoiding it. So you can't plan to do that. You know, we have these. I like to get like the whole chicken, like the chicken purse.
Oh yeah,
and we just mash that.
Chicken purse, and like, that's where they tie your hands behind your back, and you have to eat the whole chicken.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
That's the story. 1987.
Yeah. We usually like we hit the McDonald's in the first week, and then we don't do it again. We do like one. Hopefully, it's breakfast. We do it once, and then
Do it once, you do it right. You know,
and that's it.
And then you have your favorite spots, which you try to like. You get the chance to be like an ambassador because you get to travel. So, for instance, like my favorite banh mi in the country is in Knoxville,
really,
in like a strip mall that's by a car dealership. It's literally
that sounds right.
It's just
share the name with the class.
It's called Bida Saigon. Saigon.
All right.
Do we know
just peppery pork pate.
Ooh.
It's like you can see the pork, the pepper in it. Like
that is some good alliteration for food.
Yeah.
Really. All right, well, let's hear another song as we salivate and look up this peppery pork pate. What are you going to hear and play next?
It's called Regular World.
All right, here we go. Regular
another
World.
Another unreleased one.
Ooh, Snacky Tunes exclusive.
So good luck hearing it after this. Regular guy, regular size, regular drink, regular fries, regular pesticide, regular car, regular house, regular dads, regular Channel 5. That's just a regular life. Hey, hey, it isn't so bad. We all want to be someone. On top, number one. Just someone. A regular girl, regular curl, regular video games and squirrel, regular cinnamon swirl, regular job, a regular tan, a regular man, a regular diamonds and pearls. That's just a regular world. Hey, hey, it isn't so bad. We all want to be someone. Oh, 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 on top, number one. Oh, 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 but I'll take what I get, and I'll make the most of it. Cause I know, I'm not just someone. Someone on top, number one. But I'll take what I get, and I'll make the most of it. Cause I know, oh yeah, we all want to be someone.
Call that one a barn burner. That's a good one.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great. So you have some demos out on YouTube teasing the new album?
We have been putting, yeah, exactly. Because it's kind of like elastic what our time frame is this year because of like stuff that we have going on developing. So we
thank you for
sure.
All the clear details.
You like that?
No vagueness in that statement.
No, we're signing to Jinx Records actually. So we can't talk about it. We basically have so much new music and we've been playing it live. People know it. So
yeah.
There's kind of like this, we're having a chance to have a good time with it. I think
That's awesome. That is so frustrating to go and see a band play a new song and then being like, shit, I can't ever hear that until they put it out again.
Right.
And that might be months from when they're playing it.
Yeah. And we're just using, you know, it's just kind of home demo stuff. So it's sort of fun to be able to invite people into the process that way so they get to hear it as it germinates.
Have you gotten good feedback from fans that has changed the song?
From the teasers?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, It's made intentionally mysterious, so it's not clear whether they have something in there to latch onto. But I think that I think that you can tell in the comments and stuff that people are ready, and even live, we play live and they're leaving comments on the Facebook page. What was the fourth song? I shot video, you know. I don't know, it's kind of exciting to see people gravitate towards the new stuff.
Yeah. We've been playing the same set for a long time now, so
yeah,
we're pretty pumped to unleash new tunes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we got 15, 16 for the full length eventually, you know.
That's awesome.
Coming together, so. And that many online already, so.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
So you guys seem pretty pumped about what's happening.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Really, I mean, we've been, some of these tunes we've been honing for a while, so it's.
And you're still excited to play them, because sometimes, you know, by the time the album gets out, you're like, I'm so sick of this song. I've been playing it for years.
Yeah, but when you're growing, it's like everybody's new.
Right.
To you. So it's, I mean, we don't have that like artist dilemma thing. Like we're creative and comfortable and pumped about what we do. And then we also are pumped about people enjoying it as a real goal. And so we want to make sure that they get to be in on everything that's, you know, available from whenever they find it, you know, instead of cutting them out.
That's really refreshing. A lot of people are just like, well, I'm doing this for me, and you get to enjoy it.
Yeah, no. The audience, I mean, I don't know, it's a real, real motivator, I mean, for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, well, every time, you know, we've played some of these songs, you know, maybe hundreds of times, probably a few we've played a couple hundred times.
Yeah.
The new ones, I mean, but every time a new crowd hears it, to me, it's like hearing it anew, you know, myself as well, the way you play your favorite record for your friend.
Oh, man.
And it's like you've never heard the record before because the way they...
You're watching them enjoy
it. Taking it in. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's awesome. So you got Canada, you got Austin, you got... What cities are you looking forward to most on this tour?
That's all of them?
Yeah. No, yeah. It's
so democratic.
It's so pared down. It's like the way we're doing it this time is no Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays, really.
Okay.
So we're kind of spacing it out and hitting bigger towns that we've
great.
Built up. Places like Louisville. Austin's a great one. We're playing Stubbs again.
Yeah.
Stubbs.
LA is always fun.
West Coast kind of like surrogate hometown.
Where are you playing out in LA?
Not sure yet. It's like still June.
Definitely. Oh, okay.
June, yeah.
Awesome. Man, L.A., blowing up.
Yeah. L.A., yeah. Seriously.
It's really finding, coming into its own, huh?
Hopefully we'll get to play on the Sunset Strip, you know?
Oh, yeah. yeah. The second coming of the Sunset Trip with Spirit Animal, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right, well, I want to make sure we have enough time for one more song, but where can people find you? Where can people get music? Spotify?
Yeah, Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube. We're on all of those. Our Twitter is Spirit Animal US. Our Instagram is Spirit Animal US. Our Facebook is /Spirit Animal US. It should be able to find us pretty easy on Spotify because we got the little blue check, so it should come up if you search Spirit Animal.
Awesome.
Website spiritanimal.us.
Official. Spiritanimal.us. Yeah, official. Official tissue.
Official tissue issue.
And, yep. We've got a tissue issue.
Not a square to spare.
Yeah, and we're really easy to find, and we're really we love interacting with people. So if you holler at us, you know, we'll be your holler back girl.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you to everyone, Aaron, Chef's Club, Olame. So excited. Let's get through this winter together. Let's get rid of the snow. Let's get in some shorts and eat some barbecue and some tacos. Am I right, guys?
Oh my god.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Sir.
Yeah.
What's the last song you're going to take us out with?
It's an older one called Love Crime from our first EP.
Throwback. Love it. Shout out. We'll be back next week with another episode of Snacky Tunes. As always, thank you to Roberta's Heritage, Liz, and the pizza and salad that I'm staring at with very longing eyes through the window.
Yeah.
I'm Darren. Shout out to Greg and the fam. No, I think it's just actually...
No, but you get it, though, like when the googly eyes noise happens in cartoons?
Oh, yeah.
Arugula! No.
Is that going to be one of the dishes that changed America? Arugula salad.
Probably shouldn't have said that twice.
All right, well, here we go. We'll see you next
week.
Food show.
I have to make food jokes, man.
Dude, I make food jokes all the time.
I mean, you gotta laugh at the food jokes.
Arugula. There you go. All right, here you guys. We'll see you next week.
He did it better.
I guess you didn't notice we're not okay. I don't want to be in love, I don't want to be in love that way. Coming into focus, I see in your eyes. You don't know the meaning of, you don't know the meaning of you and I. One-way lover,
tick-tock to you one more time. Or do I need your loving? Hope not, more than you need mine. I got a lot of questions I don't want to ask, 'cause you never know what answer might, never know what answer might be the last. And I gave all I had to give, that became what I was asked to give away. Your conviction, it's grave, it's a love crime, and love crime does not pay. In case you didn't notice, I'm not your slave. I don't wanna be in love, I don't wanna be in love that way. Going through the motions like everything's fine. You don't know the meaning of, you don't know the meaning of you and I. One way lover, tick tock to you one more time. But do I need your loving? Hope not, more than you need mine. Don't even gotta wonder if somebody else. I'd have been better off, I'd have been better off by myself. And I gave all I had to give, that became what I was asked to give away. Your conviction, it's grave, it's love crime, hard time, I should have you locked away.
Listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.